Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome into A to Z Sports Primetime from the Zen Sports Studios. I'm your host, Buck Rising. If you're new to the show, welcome. And I'm proud, as always, to be presented to you by the people at TrueMathFitness.com. TrueMathFitness.com is where you go for your first workout free. The best workout in Middle Tennessee is TrueMath Fitness, a new way to work out for the best version of you. Of course, Zen Sports, where you can get same game parlays and no danger first wagers. Simply plug in the promo code ATOZTN that you see directly behind me there, and you can get in on all the action. And Two Rivers Ford, quality American-made Ford vehicles from the South's most trusted Ford dealership, Two Rivers Ford in Mount Juliet or online at tworiversford.com. So, we have another massive trade in the AFC South. This brings Stephon Diggs from the Buffalo Bills to the Houston Texans for only a 2025 second round pick. And Houston gets Diggs plus a fifth. Whoa, we got a cat fight in the background, sounds like. Do you hear that, Bert? My God. Got a little spicy back there. Frances apparently not just doing hair. She's serving hands in the background. Goodness, this is what I get for leaving the door open in the studio. I assume that went out over the microphone. Either way, settle down there, Frank. We gotta have some quality control around here. Listen, we got too much going on here in the home office to be putting up with this bullshit. So perhaps me and Frank will reassess. Damn, Major Key says, calm down, Frankie. Says Derek, yeah, we got a little hostile situation at the home office, but that's all right. We'll get through it together. Now, back to business, the business of Stephon Diggs coming to the Houston Texans via trade. They basically get him for pennies on the dollar, and at this point, you have to think about whether that is just the Houston Texans doing a great deal and kind of robbing the Buffalo Bills of an asset, or if it is a situation for Diggs that he is depreciated as a player. This was Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network breaking down the trade.
Well, we'll start with the Buffalo Bills side of it. Of course, you mentioned it. They are sending Stephon Diggs to the Houston Texans, and it really signifies a mostly full reset for Buffalo. They have Josh Allen, so they're not resetting everything. Certainly their playoff window, Super Bowl window, remains open because they have the superstar quarterback. But everything they've done this year has been about salary cap resetting and getting younger. And they've sent away veterans like Tre'Davious White, Mitch Morris, and now Stephon Diggs, the latest. And there have been rumors over the last couple months about Diggs' unhappiness. There's been plenty of questions about whether or not he was going to be traded. Now he is, in fact, traded. Of course, the Buffalo Bills potentially have another hole to fill in the draft. Maybe they go receiver earlier. Maybe they do it a couple times. Big-time shoes to fill there. If you're the Houston Texans, what you did over the course of the last couple weeks, you traded from number 23 up into the 40s, and then you took the remains of that pick, basically the second rounder in 2025 of the Minnesota Vikings, used that to acquire Stephon Diggs. Have to pay him $19 million. What you get is a big-time, playoff-ready, proven weapon for C.J. Stroud and add to what is already a very, very talented offensive group.
So, that is Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network breaking down the trade. The question that we'll ask you guys is this, your Two Rivers Ford take. What was your first reaction to seeing Stephon Diggs traded to the AFC South? It is made possible by the great people at Two Rivers Ford. Quality American-made Ford vehicles and award-winning customer service is what they offer you at the South's most trusted Ford dealership, Two Rivers Ford in Mount Juliet or online at tworiversford.com. Jimmy Darling on Facebook Live says he is good but not a game changer, just a veteran presence nothing our defensive backs can't handle. Well, you know, that might be so at now that he's 31, but Stephon Diggs has kind of owned the Tennessee Titans' ass every time that he's played them. I know the Titans had a stretch of success against the Bills in a period of time where they seemed to play almost nearly every year in the regular season. It was a bit of a fluky schedule wrinkle. But looking at some of the numbers for Stephon Diggs against the Tennessee Titans, I don't know that I would be as dismissive as Jimmy just was. I'll pull up these numbers via StatMuse from earlier today. Stephon Diggs in, let's see, he has played the Tennessee Titans four different times. In those four games, he has 38 catches for 446 yards and scored four touchdowns in those four career games, all of those coming as a member of the Buffalo Bills. So it's not like Stephon Diggs hasn't torched you before, and I understand that L'Jarius Sneed is probably the best corner that you've had in the modern era of Titans football, and also Stephon Diggs is not quite the same player. Buck, says David Lee, look up his Sneed stats. Yes, I've already done that. In fact, I wrote an article about it. I'm the one who looked up the Sneed stats, and you can go find those for yourself at A2ZSports.com. You're welcome. I did the Pro Football Focus deep dive. We got the coverage stats, and we were able to discern that Stephon Diggs has not had a great record of success against L'Jarius Sneed specifically, or when L'Jarius Sneed is the primary defender in coverage. I'll give you those numbers specifically here in just a second. So this is a different secondary than obviously Stephon Diggs has faced, but it's not like he has played poor Titans defenses before. This is a veteran player and an offense that is going to be able to cause you a variety of different problems, because it's not just Diggs is not the thing that's going to break you, right? But Diggs is now arguably a three in a trio of highly talented wide receivers against a divisional opponent that's got the best. I mean, CJ Stroud is the best quarterback in the AFC South already. Trevor Lawrence hasn't quite taken the same meaningful steps that we've already seen CJ Stroud take in year one. So they've got the best quarterback in the division. They've got the best skill position trio in the division. And they also have the best offensive line group in the division to go with the Houston Texans offense. And that's not even accounting for all the different moves that they've made on defense so far this year. So I think that when you, Courtney Jackson says dismissively, highly talented receivers, LOL, where? Clearly you have not paid attention to what Tank Dell did last year in his rookie season before the injury, and the fact that Nico Collins is a wide receiver one out of the gate. So listen, I get the Titans fans are feeling themselves. You should be. You should like the moves that your team has made, but you also have to acknowledge that the Texans are in a completely different class than what the Tennessee Titans are at this point. And to be that kind of dismissive, frankly, that's just a level of ignorance, Corey, smarter football people than myself would tell you, no, these are arguably two wide receiver ones, and Diggs becomes the three in this offense, where he's been an all-pro player, an all-pro caliber player in Buffalo. Now, it is worth noting that Tank Dell is coming off a broken leg, and that rebound shouldn't be, or is likely to be, less seamless than, you know, in an ideal world he would like it to be, and the Houston Texans would like it to be. Corey says he's taking their wideouts, taking the Titans' wideouts over the Texans any day. No, I wouldn't do that. I like DeAndre Hopkins at 32 years old, but that's not something that's going to get appreciably better. Now, I think statistically Hopkins could put up a better season if he has an actual complement to work against. And Calvin Ridley is a solid player, but he's not a definitive wide receiver one. They tried that in Jacksonville. It didn't quite work that way. So I think that, again, if you want to be dismissive of the Houston Texans, you are entirely entitled to do so. And I think that the Titans can make things a hell of a lot messier against the Texans than they did a year ago. Certainly, this is a substantially better team than the Texans saw last year. Cole says, bleep it. Why play a game? They are the offseason winners. Give them the Lombardi. All right, you guys are being super dramatic and butthurt because I'm complimenting another football team. Like, listen, two things can be so. One, the Titans can have improved substantially this offseason. Two, which can also be so, the Texans are in a completely different class than the Titans are. It's not rocket science. It's just how these teams cycle. Like, it's crazy to me. And I listen, I know you guys are Titans fans, but the fact that some of you just can't simply put aside your fandom to acknowledge that the Texans are a significantly better football team at a different point in their cycle as the Titans try to work through this version of their cycle where they've figured out that last year's product wasn't going to work. They've all but blown up last year's team. They're adding a bunch of new different parts and pieces to try and figure out if they've actually got a starting quarterback, a franchise quarterback for the future and not just the present in Will Levis. And the idea that people aren't willing to acknowledge or can't simply acknowledge that CJ Stroud is clearly and obviously the best and most proven commodity in the division as now continues to get better football players around him is one of the dumbest things that I've ever seen. So you can have this argument amongst yourselves if you would like. And I know I'm not speaking to all of you because I think most rational and reasonable people can acknowledge this. But you don't have to get butthurt just because I'm saying nicer things about one team than I am about your team. It is completely and totally ridiculous that anybody would not acknowledge the obvious, which is that the Houston Texans are a better football team. They've got their franchise quarterback definitively. They've got their franchise left tackle. They've made a hell of a lot of moves on defense. They basically signed every defensive lineman in the damn offseason in free agency this year. And if you want to be, you know, like Tony Grishaw, who says 1 year wonder, again, you are entitled to have that opinion. I think it's a stupid opinion based on the things that we saw CJ Stroud do, which is something that no other rookie quarterback in the history of the sport has done. So I'm going to let you guys have whatever opinion that you want. The show is opinion driven, obviously. Again, they can be stupid opinions. And I'm not saying that the Titans are going to get swept by the Texans. I'm not saying that the Texans are going to, I'm not saying that the Titans can't make a little noise in the AFC South. The Texans went from worst to first last year. It is completely viable, but it is foolish to not acknowledge that the Texans are starting out at a better level than are the Tennessee Titans just because of where they are in their franchise cycle. It's not that deep. It's just fact. I'm not one of these shows that's going to do alternative facts for you, okay? There is one set of facts that is correct. There is one set of facts that is incorrect. If you are acknowledging or if you are trying to acknowledge that the Tennessee Titans have a better roster than the Houston Texans right now, it's completely and utterly asinine, and we don't have to spend more time on it. David Lee wants to know who my team is. Again, for the 1,000th time, for the 6 years that I've been doing the primetime show, I don't have a football team. I don't. I have a college basketball team, the Indiana Hoosiers. They make me miserable, just as miserable as the Titans seem to make you guys on a regular basis. So I can relate as a sports fan, but I don't have an NFL team, which makes this job a hell of a lot easier to do. Because I can't imagine trying to do this job if I actually gave a shit about any of these teams, because they make me insane. They make me insane objectively. I can't imagine what it would be to have an actual investment in one of these teams, especially in the AFC South. Jesus. Edward Hayford says, Buck, you like the Colts. Stop. I in fact find Colts fans very, very annoying. I think they are as entitled as any group of individuals out there, given that they have the only two championships in the AFC South. The Indianapolis Colts have a Super Bowl win, and the Baltimore Colts have I believe an AFL championship in their history. The Jags, the Titans, and the Texans have never won a Super Bowl in their history. So Indianapolis, I guess, is the only franchise in the division that has an actual championship pedigree. But I do find Colts super annoying, given that their run of success didn't really amount to much with both Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck. But that's not the point. We don't have to get dug in on these things. Giggling grad student says, you sound butthurt over an opinion. Texans look good on paper. That's it. Yeah, that's the offseason, dumbass. It's the only thing that we have to judge them on. Yes, they're better on paper. Well, I'm not saying it's not September. It's April the 3rd. I'm not butthurt over me having an opinion about the Texans looking on paper. I'm butthurt about the idea that people can't acknowledge the clear and obvious, which is one team is further ahead than the other. Sound butthurt over an opinion that the Texans look good on paper. That's it. That's the only thing we have to damn judge them on is on paper. What the hell are you talking about? God, maybe you need to stay in grad school a little longer. It's just this. Listen, I love you guys. Every once in a while you can get my blood pressure up and get my neck veins going. My doctor actually texted me the other day. He goes, "Are you wearing that blood pressure monitor I gave you?" And he said, "No." Or I said, "No, not quite yet. Certainly not during the primetime show, because the thing would spike off the charts if we did it around here." God almighty. Long story short, Texans making moves. Titans have moves. Thank God you have L'Jarius Sneed if you're a Titans fan, because can you imagine what your secondary would look like if you had Chidobe Awuzie, who is a solid corner when he's healthy, but that's about it. That's all they got at this point. Now they have a legitimate lockdown corner who's had great success against Stephon Diggs and can carry that over because he has a history of being able to run with number one receivers and legitimately being a shutdown corner. Anyway, Mike Peck says, keep going. I want to see the vein get bigger. It's just going to explode, and then I'm going to die on primetime on camera, which, again, would be phenomenal for ratings, but I just don't understand why it's so hard to acknowledge factual accuracies at this point in the offseason. Anyway, Aaron Castillo says Buck is frustrated because he's a Titans fan. That's right. You nailed me. You found me out. You caught me. Not the Colts, not the Texans. I'm clearly and obviously a Titans fan. Anyway, Christian Tomas says Buck looked like Will versus the Dolphins with the neck veins. That's the only thing me and Will Levis have in common, is that we are both very vascular individuals. I'm not built musculature-wise like Will Levis is, but sure as hell I can find a neck vein or two. Anyway, let's keep it moving. Let's talk about, so, who is the best wide receiver on the Texans? Because if you're talking about Stephon Diggs being added into the mix, I think a lot of people assume that he's going to be their wide receiver one. And that is not entirely the case. Mike Peck says, I'm a Brahmas fan. What the hell are the Brahmas? Oh, is that a... Oh, it's not XFL. What is it called now? UFL? UFL is what Bert is motioning to me in the background. UFL, whatever the hell the UFL is. Sure, I'll be a Brahmas fan. If you guys insist on assigning a football team to me, give me a damn UFL team. I don't care about any of the teams in the NFL. All right, so... who's the best wide receiver on the Texans roster at this point with the addition of Stephon Diggs? Let's talk about it together on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch right after I remind you. Who is L'Jarius Sneed going to be locking down come the fall? We will get into this together right after I remind you that the primetime program is made possible by Zen Sports. My neck veins brought to you by Zen Sports and the promo code ATOZTN, where you can get in on all the action. Unlike me, they make it a breeze. They make it completely not stressful to get in on the action with the same game parlays and up to $1,000 on your no danger first wager. ZenSports.com for more information. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. So Greg Cosell and I did another episode of The Install, and Bert will drop the Eventbrite link for those of you who have not gotten your tickets to the live show. We're a month away to the date of when we will be hosting you guys at the Analog Hotel with Greg Cosell, with myself, with some special guests that we have planned for you that we'll tell you about 2 weeks before the live show goes down, to see if we can't completely sell this thing out. The tickets are going very, very fast. You can get them in the Eventbrite link that Bert will drop in the chat. Meanwhile, Greg and I talked about the Texans wide receiver core and who it is that L'Jarius Sneed twice a year will be tasked with shutting down. Nico Collins, Greg, and I know he's a different kind of wide receiver and certainly physically different from a lot of the prototypical players that you see at the position nowadays, but he was playing like one of the best wide receivers in football before the injury. And Nico Collins, it's been a more of a late bloom, and he's always had promise, certainly, but he is as competent a starting, you know, yes, true outside wide receiver as any in football right now.
He's now sort of in some ways, well, not, he's not the best. I'm not going to say he's the best.
Sure.
He's prototypical as far as what we call the boundary X, that single receiver to the short side of the field that can win one-on-one, that can run multiple route concepts. They get a lot of man-to-man coverage. He can get vertical. He can run crossers. He can run away from coverage. And quite honestly, because, you know, Stephon Diggs, and I know people probably have a sense of Diggs as being big time, but Diggs has declined a little bit. Mm-hmm. He is not a number one anymore. In fact, he may be the number three receiver there. He's certainly not going to get the same target volume that he got in Buffalo, which of course had declined pretty significantly. And he'll be 31 during the course of this season. So he's getting a little older, but in the situation now in Houston, he doesn't have to be, you know, the so-called number one. He's not going to be. And we saw what Tank Dell did last year. So they've got a really nice trio, and they've got Dell and Diggs, who are both movable chess pieces within the context of an offense.
So that Stephon Diggs might end up being the third wide receiver again speaks to a degree of depreciation for Stephon Diggs. He's not the same player that he was. When was he? I think his all pro season was 2020. So he would have been 27 at the time. So this is not all pro caliber Stephon Diggs anymore, but he's still a very threatening player, especially when you can deploy him as your third wide receiver and move them all across the formation. But it's probably Nico Collins is the Texans wide receiver one. It's been a slow burn for him over the course of his career, but with legitimate quarterback play, you've seen that come to fruition, and it'll probably be Snead on Nico Collins and then trying to figure out how else to defend Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs in whatever formations they choose to come out. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a really, really fun year, I think, in the AFC South, because hopefully we can get a healthy Anthony Richardson and see what that actually looks like, if he can be any kind of a difference maker. I would love to see Will Levis take a legitimate step. I'd love to see Trevor Lawrence kind of live up to the billing of a former first overall pick. They've got Trevor Lawrence is the old man in the division, which is kind of crazy to think about. It happened very, very quickly. So this figures to be an incredibly fun season of AFC South football. And, you know, provided that all of these young quarterbacks, including Lawrence, take a meaningful step in their development, because the Jags roster is not in a good spot right now. Texans are obviously the best team in the division. Colts, you know, they'll go as far as Richardson goes. And I could basically say the same thing of Levis, because I have just as big, I have a slightly smaller question mark with Levis than I do with Richardson, but that's because Richardson only appeared. I mean, I think Richardson only appeared in something like five games last year. Jordan Humphrey says Diggs acts like a diva every game with his number of targets going down. I don't see him being happy. I mean, he's going to be happy as long as he wins, right? And the AFC South's a hell of a lot easier to win than the AFC East in recent memory. So, some numbers quickly. Actually, I'm going to tell you that the primetime show is made possible by the great people at TrueMath Fitness in the Gulch before I give you Legarius Sneed's numbers against Stephon Diggs in the last couple of years. They have played each other six times in seven total meetings for the Bills and the Chiefs since Legarius Sneed was drafted to the Chiefs in 2020. But I'll give you those numbers here in just a second, right after I remind you that the primetime program is made possible by the great people at TrueMath Fitness in the Gulch. No workout is ever recycled or repeated at TrueMav. They are just there to put you in position to succeed. Whether it's group fitness classes, personal training, or anything in between, TrueMav Fitness is the place that you can improve your physical fitness, no matter if you're just trying to get into better shape, if you're trying to improve your conditioning, if you're training for various kinds of competitions, whether that be marathons, or I know people are into high rocks, things like that. TrueMath Fitness is the best workout in Middle Tennessee. The first workout is free as a Middle Tennessee resident at TrueMathFitness.com. All right, so some numbers on Legarius Sneed versus Stephon Diggs, because they are very, very favorable. And it's a good thing that you've added a player like him, whether he's going to be up against Diggs or, I mean, who else is on the schedule this year? Justin Jefferson. The Titans have a game with the Vikings this year. All kinds of top flight receivers on the schedule in 2024. So Diggs, I gave you Diggs' numbers against the Titans in four career games. He's had over 400 yards with 36 catches, four touchdowns in those four games. In six games against the Chiefs, well, Diggs has played the Chiefs seven times since L'Jarius Sneed was drafted in 2020. Sneed was on injured reserve in his rookie season the first time that he had an opportunity to go up against Stephon Diggs, but he's played in the six games since then, including three in the postseason. Diggs has registered only three catches for 37 yards on 10 targets when Sneed is the primary defender in coverage, according to Pro Football Focus. That includes the AFC divisional round this year, where Diggs was targeted five times, did not record a single catch, and Sneed is credited with three pass breakups on those five targets. So L'Jarius Sneed, even if he's not an all-pro caliber player this year, the same way that he was last year, he gives you the ability to take away one side of the field, or at least he did in Kansas City, and you're hoping, obviously, for the paycheck, that he can continue to do that and be a huge benefit to your defense in the same way that he was for the Chiefs over the course of the last couple of seasons. Should be, like I said, it's going to be a fascinating year in the AFC South. I can't wait to see how it plays out. All right, so let's wrap up with rising and falling. I know the graphic does not indicate that we're doing rising and falling, but that is indeed the case. Tonight we had some stuff. Apparently Facebook and Instagram have been having problems all day. They kicked me out of my graphic making account because Facebook was the way that I've been logging into that. So we will hopefully have up-to-date graphics tomorrow. Either way, the primetime program is made possible by the Ashton Real Estate Group of RE/MAX Advantage. Go to GaryAshton.com for your dream address without the stress. And remember, don't sell without the intel that the official real estate agent of the Nashville Predators will provide. Whose stock rose, whose stock fell this week in sports? Let's talk about it together. There's a couple of different places that you could pick from. For example, women's college basketball, a massive television rating number for the LSU-Iowa game, the most in the history of women's college basketball. It is the marquee tournament between the two this year, with the men's and the women's Final Fours. Well, I guess the women are getting ready to get through the Elite Eight in the coming weekend, and the men's Final Four will take place this weekend. But women's college basketball, for sure, stock up. Stock down, apparently, Dan Orlovsky and his, how should I describe this? Well, I guess there's no other way to talk about it other than to say that Dan Orlovsky allegedly has gas.
It's impossible to be at the top at both of those, essentially. Like,
another farting Dan Orlovsky situation.
Danny Dumps.
What do you mean? It's unbelievable.
Your butt was just talking.
We heard it.
Your butt just farted into the phone again like you in Monday Night Football.
Okay. All right. So Pat McAfee, people are saying it's Toots Day at Dan Orlovsky. I got to say, some days are okay and they don't go my way. And some days make me laugh the entire day. I will never get over how funny this was. Marcus, did he do it?
Bro, why is it you, bro? You know, the more and more this keep happening, bro, it's going to be real at some point, dude.
There are poots.
Like, I'm going to give you a pass on this one because I do believe it was
the windshield wipers. Oh.
No.
You guys.
Bro, how does your mic keep catching the simulation of a toot? Bro.
Doug, I don't know, bro. I don't know. And I'm very thankful for everything that I've gotten in my life, and I've been unbelievably blessed. I've been put in some inexplainable situations that are not easy.
This the price you got to pay, bro. That's the price you got to pay. It has become
life.
The price you have to pay.
This is out there, Putin.
Jeez,
Dan,
man.
It is a little weird. You have to admit, it's a little weird that like Putin. There would be multiple times where you'd be on air talking about football and this happened.
I don't understand it, man. I don't understand it. It made me think of.
What did
How
you
did you twice?
How's it happened to me twice? How's it happened to me twice on national television?
On national TV, dude. My God, bro. One of them was on Monday Night Football.
Monday Night Football. A fart happens, and then
you sinking fast, bro.
I got to tell you something,
your ship
guys.
Is sinking fast around here.
What have I done wrong, dog? I pray every morning. That's the first thing I do.
I guess it could be worse, so maybe the prayers are making sure it's only a poot. On that note.
He says it's his windshield wipers. I'm inclined to believe him. I can't think of anything more American. If I ever did that on camera or on in front of a live microphone, I would quit. I would leave this business. My shame would be too great. I don't do well with bathroom humor. I know it's always funny every time it happens, but if that ever happened to me, I would outright quit. So for those of you who are trying to run me out, all you have to do is hope that I get a little gassy in front of a microphone one time. That's going to do it. For us tonight on the Primetime Show, thank you guys as always for playing along. We love you. We appreciate you spending your time here with us. If you didn't get your tickets to the live show, perhaps you can root for me to get gassy on stage in front of a crowd of 300 people. If you haven't gotten your tickets yet to the live show, we would appreciate you doing that. JDH on YouTube says, what if somebody sets you up? Well, I don't know how somebody would set me up unless Bert ran in there. Like that, Bert and Cheyenne in the background and tried to execute a pooting noise. Yeah, just like that. So if that ever happened to me, like I said, I'd quit, but it would have to be actual. Like I would fight it until the last, but if it did actually happen to me, I would acknowledge it. It would cause me great shame. And that would be the end of my broadcasting career, I gotta say. Anyway, that's gonna do it for us tonight. Have a great rest of your evening. Get your install tickets on the link that Bert just reinserted into the chat. And I will talk to you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. on 104.5 The Zone. Gas or not. See you guys.